Let's now go to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 2 this morning. We'll read verses 1 through 8 responsively. Philippians chapter number 2. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 out loud, and then you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll alternate like that down through verse number 8. Philippians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
And let's pray. Father, I need you this morning. I pray that as I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, that each and every person in this room would do the same, that they would listen to the word of God and let it apply to their life personally. Lord, would you give us the attention of our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our spirit so that you could do the work that you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If I could have your attention, keep your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 2. I want to preach to you this morning in a very important way. I would like you to listen to me. To those of you that may not be in church often, do me a favor, if you'll just kind of, unless you have an absolute emergency, try not to leave the auditorium right now. Make sure your phone's on vibrate and it doesn't ring, or you'll owe me a pizza. Seriously, I want to preach to you. We'll be dismissing shortly at noon or thereafter, depending on the invitation. But if you'll listen to me for about the next 35 minutes or so, I think I could help you. The more I read the Bible, and the more I walk with God, the more I realize how mankind doesn't know how to think anymore. Sin has messed up our ability to think. For instance, how in the world could anyone believe that a man could become pregnant? Two bulls don't make a cow. It doesn't take a whole lot of sense to figure it out. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just stating fact. In a day of super information, our world trusts Google, Wikipedia, and Siri more than they do God. Let me say that again. There are people that trust Google and Siri and Wikipedia and believe everything about it. We do not verify the information we get as truth. Did you know there was a day when something was said, you researched it to find out it was truth? There was a day when the news media would report the truth. Now, whatever they say, believe the opposite, and that will be the truth. Now, we think we are good thinkers because we can Google it. We can retrieve it from our phone. We think we're a good thinker because we can sit down at a tablet or a laptop and type some information in and pull up a couple places and say, I know the answer. That is a lie from Satan himself. You are not a good thinker because you can type or speak into your phone and retrieve information. There was a statement under President George Bush, trust or get information and verify. Information and verify. We have got to not only get information, but we must verify the truth of the information.
Amen.
There are too many people, just because it came up on your phone, that's the truth. No, may I say something? That's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth. All people are sinners. Now, you say, preacher, that's strong terms. Hang on. If you're mad at that, you're going to kill somebody in a little while here. Being a sinner isn't something you do. It is something you are. You're not a sinner because you sinned. You sin because you are a sinner by birth. Did you know you don't have to teach a child to lie? They do it very naturally. I believe it's Psalm 58, verse number 3 says, or verse 5 says, that that children come forth of the womb speaking lies. You wait till 2 o'clock in the morning, that thing's already been changed, it's been fed, it's been burped, ain't nothing wrong with it, and then it wakes up at 2 in the morning screaming, and you think it's going to die. Because all it wants is attention. It's lying to you. It doesn't need anything. It wants something. Now, all men, all ladies, all people are sinners. The easiest person in the world to lie to is yourself. Do you know you can convince yourself of anything? Those famous words in West Virginia. Watch this, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That means something bad's about to happen. This isn't going to end up good, is it, Brother Scott? Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. We can convince ourselves that even wrong is okay. How many times have you known something was wrong, but you said, well, I can handle it. It won't bother me that way. We actually believe ourselves. That's the dumb part of it all. Because we have a sinful DNA, we want to be God. If you went all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he said, in the day thou eatest, you could be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. In other words, you could be your own God. You could choose what's right. You could choose what's wrong. That's where we're at in America today. We have people that say, well, I can choose what I want. I can choose my own gender. Lie. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. Well, I can decide if it's truth or not. Truth does not change. This morning, the sun came up in the east. Tonight, it'll set in the west. You can't change it. That's truth.
Right.
I don't care how you try. You can do whatever you want. You can try to convince somebody that it comes up in the west and sets in the east. Doesn't work that way.
Yes,
see, truth does not change. And God said, I am the Lord thy God. I lie not. If he doesn't lie, thy word is truth, O Lord. He is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care what some religious person says. I don't care what a preacher says. You either go God's way or you don't go.
Amen. Right.
Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I just have to preach it. I'm the mailman. You pay the bill. It's your bill, not mine. You see, God's mind is greater than our mind. Did you know God said in the Old Testament, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His ways are above our ways. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather trust God than trust some other person.
Amen.
I love a lot of people. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of good people. But I trust God more than I trust any human being.
Amen.
You say, why? because he knows more than all of us put together.
Yes,
if it came down to trusting what God said and doing what man says, I'm going to choose God.
Amen.
10 years ago, I had some preacher friends. Told them I was going to start a church. They said, you're too old to start a church.
Sure.
Shut up. They said, 45-year-olds don't go out and start churches. I said to them, I'm above average. I realize most people, by the time they're 40, have reached the pinnacle of their careers, and they coast from 40 to 65. Very few people build after the age of 40. Once you hit 40, everybody pretty well hits coast and just keeps it going. I decided at 45, coast didn't work. I didn't have reverse, so it's pedal to the metal, hair on fire, let's go. Had no problem with it. I had people say, you're too old to start a church. Guess what? Look around.
Praise God.
Us old people can do it too, amen?
Amen.
To them. You know, but I decided then I was going to trust what God said, not what people said. We need a good dose of humility to see that we are not as smart as we think we are, and that God knows a whole lot more than we know. God tells us that we can learn to think like Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, we read it a little while ago. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, listen to me very carefully. There's a prerequisite on that. It doesn't mean that you are going to think sinless. But there is a way that man can have the ability to think the way Jesus thought. And that's what I want to bring to you today. How to think like Jesus. You see, when we think about serving others or helping others, it is then that we think like Jesus.
Amen.
The mind of Christ is not for you and yourself. It is for you to help someone else.
Amen.
Now, listen to this very carefully here. Jesus' whole life on earth was about others. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can I tell you something? Jesus came for others. He didn't come for us. He didn't get much out of the deal. Think about it. What did he get? Slandered. What did he get? Crucified. What did he get? A reputation where people are still saying, you don't need Jesus. Huh. He did not concern himself with his reputation. He became obedient. What was he doing? He was obeying what he and the Father had gone through so that you and I did not have to die and go to a place called hell.
Amen.
It has not gotten our way. It's gotten his way. And for you to get the mind of Christ, for you to think the way Jesus thought, listen to me, it can only come about when you're trying to help others. It is not a selfish thing for yourself. We cannot have the mind of Christ when we're thinking about ourselves. We only have the type of thinking Jesus had when it is about others. We're so proud and selfish and sinful that we want what we want way too much. Thinking the way Jesus thinks is for others, not yourself. For the last 10 years, I mentioned this earlier, our church has tried to be, our motto has been, we're a hospital, not a museum. We're here to take people that are hurt by sin. which is every human being, by the way. Bring them in. Let them realize the ground's level at the cross. Can I tell you something? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It didn't say nothing but the baptistry. It doesn't say nothing but our good works. It says nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now listen to me very carefully here. We're not a museum of self-reminders of the past. It's a hospital for healing to go forward. Everybody's got mistakes. Everybody's messed up. Some a little more obvious than others. Amen, Brother Scott? Yeah. Wait a minute. Just because somebody's sin may be obvious to you, guess what? You're just as much a sinner as they are. For you to concentrate on their sin, you're guilty of the sin of pride. That's why it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives. You can figure that out later. Before I bring somebody up on this platform and make them stand in front of you and tell you whatever sin they're involved in. First of all, you can't forgive them. Only God can.
Amen.
Second of all, before you could listen to it, you're going to have to come up here and tell everybody what you're guilty of. See, those churches want to be gossipy churches. They want to tell, they want to think they're self-righteous. That's a bunch of puke in God's eyes. Sorry, vomit. Too many visitors. I got to watch my mouth here. Can I tell you something? There's nowhere in Scripture it says you're supposed to confess your sin to another person. He's the only one that forgives. That's the only one that matters. So, well, preacher, you're trying to cover things up. I don't have to. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What right do we have to open people's past up and spread the negative of their life around? God calls that slander.
Yes, sir.
For 10 years, we've tried to be a hospital to help people. I've done my best to make sure my life focuses on others first, not myself. Been many a sleepless night. Been many a hospital visits. Many times I've sat beside the dying loved ones of people in this room. Hour upon hour upon hour. There's been times as our church has progressed, we've hit tough spots. Never have told you this. There's times I never took a paycheck so we could pay the bills. But God always provided. I said, preacher, that's not right. Yeah, it is. It's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not perfect. No nail prints. I am as far from perfect as you are, just so you know. But I want Grace Baptist Church to have the mind of Christ. I'd like you as an individual to learn the joy of thinking the way Jesus does. This old world has a bunch of evil, mistrusting, dirty, nasty, violent minds. Our world's thinking today is worse than a cesspool. I don't want to be like this world. I have no desire to be like that old nasty world out there. I have to live in this world, but I don't have to live like the world.
Amen.
I have to get along with people long enough to get through the business portion of things, but bless God, I don't have to go home with them and live like them. I can visit the pig pen, but it doesn't mean I'm going to live there. I can walk through the cow pasture and even step in some things in the dark. But it doesn't mean I'm going to lay down in it and live there. You see, this world is selfish. This world's only thinking about themselves. For instance, you come to a four-way stop. We'll find out who lives for others and who's thinking about themselves. I got there a quarter second faster. I'm going. It's my turn. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How about we let somebody else go? Oh, yeah, it'll take you a whole 3 seconds. Don't worry. I would like you to learn to think with the mind of Christ. Let me help you today. Number one, God says that in verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. The word esteem is a fancy word for the word respect. Let each respect others before yourself. Did you know that to think like Jesus thought, you have to respect others and not worry about what respect you get? This one's going to hurt. You ready? Cringe. God wants us to respect others better than we think of our own respect. Too many of us want to be esteemed. We don't want to esteem others. We want to be respected. We demand respect from our kids. Bless God, I'm the husband. You got to listen to me. If you have to say that, you don't have any respect.
Amen.
You say that as you're hiding under the bed and she's got the broom out to slap you with it. Right, Joe? He had to get an extra high bed because he couldn't get under the other one. Too many of us want to be respected. We don't want to respect others. When I knock on a lot of doors. I go soul winning and I knock on strangers' doors every week of my life. Do you know when I go soul winning, I try to treat other people's houses and property the way I treat mine. I don't walk across their yard. I don't open the screen door, knock on the door and hold it open. Say why? Because if my wife's there and two ugly guys step on the porch, I don't want her open the door with that thing open. I respect them enough to treat them the right way. In our school, we ask our children to answer yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Do you know that our staff and myself, we answer the children yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? If you'll treat them with the respect you want to be treated with, eventually it'll come back to you.
Amen.
Instead of sitting there demanding it, how about you give it? God says to think the way Jesus thinks, you esteem the other better than yourself. That means you think of someone and respect them and don't worry about what you get out of it. Boy, that's good stuff. God tells us to esteem others, not be esteemed by others. Too many Christians think, well, I have arrived. Yeah, you just fell off the cliff. About the moment you think you've arrived, you better brace because the fall is about to hit. One thing that I've learned in the Christian life, I've been saved for 50 years. I've been preaching for 42 plus years. About the time you think you got it, you get slapped upside the head. And it's coming hard and fast. You have not arrived. You may have been down the road a few more times, but if you're like me, you've been down the road enough to know, hold on, you're about to get slapped again. You see, we're to esteem others better than ourselves. Now I'm going to meddle. Good marriages are when two people in the marriage are thinking about the other person, not what you get personally.
Amen.
You want to have a good marriage? Think of your spouse. Give your spouse the things they deserve and need and want, and don't worry about what you think you need or want. Can I tell you? I've been married for 33 years and a few months. My wife and I are still like newlyweds. Say why? Because I want her to be the happiest person in the world. So I'll do what I can. And I look for her every need, her every desire. I try to meet those things. And I don't think about, well, I did this for her. I wonder what she's doing for me. You selfish little twit. The moment you start thinking about what you want because you did something, you didn't do it for the right reason, and you're not going to get the respect you want because you did it to get respect. You didn't do it to give respect. I get up before God. He's the only one up when I get up. I was up and out of bed by 4:30 this morning. That's the latest I've been in bed in probably the last 4 or 5 days. When I get up in the morning, though, I make my 2 cups of coffee, put it in my thermos. I make sure the water's filled back up on the coffee pot, and I take the little doojigger out and put a fresh one in so that when my wife gets up, is all she has to do is turn it on, and she can have her cup of coffee. You say, why do you do that? I respect her. I want her to know I've thought about her. While she slobbered on the pillow, I thought about her. When two people in a marriage are more concerned about the other person than themselves, you'll find you'll have a better marriage. When you're not worried about what toys you buy, but what you're going to do for your spouse, it's amazing how much better you can live. Good work relations are when you do what the boss wants and don't worry about what you want. Ouch, now we're really meddling. It amazes me how many of you know how to run the company, but you've never run it before. You say, well, my boss is stupid. Well, he hired you. At one time, you were excited about that job. Be careful complaining about it. At one time, you thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, you're complaining. You think you know more about it than you really know. Can I tell you something? Maybe you ought not worry about... Everybody look this way. Everything's fine. Maybe we ought to think about me giving the boss what he wants and not worrying what I see in it. Offer a suggestion? Sure. But if they don't take it, you work for him. Do it his way. If he wants it to fail, let it fail. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Can I tell you, that's a wonderful way to go to work. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
It always amazes me, the kid that runs the French fry machine at McDonald's thinks he knows how to run the McDonald Corporation. Now, I'm not going to McDonald's no matter what, especially after what they did last week in Ranson and didn't give us our happy meals for church. Canceled us right during the middle of church. But it's amazing to me. And some little twit of a manager got an earful this weekend. You see, good friendships are based on what you are, not how you're treated. Please don't get mad at me for this. I never worry about needing friends. I just want to be a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I never wonder if my friends are my friends, because I'll always be a friend to them, no matter whether they're a friend to me or not. Did you know, Brother Steve, I could be your friend whether you're my friend or not? I can love you if you hate my guts. I know you don't. You know, I can be Brother Randy's friend whether he wants to be my friend or not. This isn't grade school. I'll be your friend if you'll be my friend. That's the way most adults live their life, though. You don't want a friend to be a friend. You want somebody to be a friend to you. Can I tell you something? You got it backwards. I find joy in being a friend to people. Every Sunday morning for the last 10 years. From the first Sunday I started pastoring, I had a group of pastors that I texted about 4:30, 4:45 in the morning. And I wanted them to start their day. They were friends of mine. I wanted them to start their day with a positive text that said, look, I thought about you. I love you. I've been to the throne of God for you. Let's have a great day. Let's go out there. Charge. Well, that list has grown and grown and grown. This morning I texted over 50 preachers before 4:45. And I told them, fellas, we don't have long. Let's give it our best. Let's give it all we've got. I'm not worried about whether, by the way, not all 50 responded. I don't expect them to respond. I don't care if they respond or not. I'll be their friend. I don't need them to encourage me. I'm there to encourage them. I don't need somebody to encourage me. I want to be an encouragement. As I encourage somebody, I get strength. I get excited. Boy, that's good stuff. If we want the mind of Christ, we must think of others more highly than we think of ourselves. Just as Jesus did when he left heaven, came to earth, and suffered our sin debt and died for us. Jesus was made happy. God the Father was happy because Jesus left what he wanted to give God what he wanted. He wanted man. Did you ever realize Jesus didn't die for the devil and his angels? God loved man so much, he wanted him back. Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go pay it for him. God, I want you to have what you want, so I'll go give all this up. I'll live amongst the sinners for 33 years. I'll be crucified, slandered for the rest of eternity, but I'll go for you because I love you. Wow. Jesus didn't get much out of the deal except making his Father happy. Number two, not only should we esteem others better than ourselves, God says that we are to look on the things of others before ourselves. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own, what's the next word? Things. Tangible things. But every man also on the things of others. I'm a little sick and tired of the mentality, whoever dies with the most toys wins. That's man's selfishness. God says we need to make sure others have what they need before we think about what we want. Do you know, my wife should get what she needs before I think about what I want? I ought to make sure my wife has the things that she wants and needs before I think about some of the things I want. I enjoy hunting. And I spend a little bit of time hunting. I had some crop tags this summer. We killed 17 does on one farm this summer. I've helped feed about a dozen families. It's been great. You ask that little lady sitting right there, there's not been one time I go that before I go, I say, what do you need done before I take off? Or if I don't need to go, I'll stay here and help you. I don't have to go hunting. I'd rather spend time with her anyway. Mugging an old nasty deer and blood and guts and everything else, she's more enjoyable than that.
Hope so.
Yeah, buddy. But I've gone to help the hunt, to help the farmer as well. That man for 20 years has let me hunt his property. Best I can do to help him. Plus, I get to feed a bunch of families in church.
Amen.
I've enjoyed that. Now, wait a minute. I've never gone, though, without asking her, do you need something done first? Do you need something done? Say why? Because I want her to have what she needs before I do what I want to do. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
I'm not super Christian. Husbands and dads need to make sure the wife and kids have their needs met before you go buy all the toys you want.
Amen.
Ouch. I've tried to keep a rule at my house. If I go out and buy a gun, spend $200 on a gun, I save up enough to where I can give my wife $200 to go buy what she wants to buy. You say, why? It's only fair. It's only right. Now, I don't buy many guns. Sorry, I had to say that. I saw it in her eyes. I saw that head nod. Here it comes. You know, we don't need as much as we think we need. Most of what you call a need is a want. For instance, how many tools have you bought and used at one time? Yeah. Ladies, how many things have you bought for your kitchen and never used it? And 6 years later, sell it in the garage sale. Ouch. It's amazing how many things we need, but it's more of a want than a need. Yeah, you got to have this. and then 10 years later, it's in a yard sale. And it's still in the box, brand new. You never used it. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, you really needed it, didn't you? Christianity, listen to this. Christianity is not an award you hang on the wall.
Amen.
It is a cross you cling to. Christianity is not a button you wear saying, look at me. No, it's an act of humility as you hang to a cross because you're a sinner. We're more concerned about our things and what we want than those around us. I thank God for the members of this church. To you guests, many of you parked pretty close to the building today. Can I tell you why? Our folks thought about you and parked farther out. We tried to park far enough away so that it was easier for you to get in and out than us. That's the mark of a great church. I promise you, I know the people in this church. I don't teach them to do this. This is just what we are. You didn't come in this morning and say, and put your things down. Somebody say, you can't sit there. That's my seat. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you been in a church like that? All right. Yeah, I've been there too. I was preaching in a church like that. I was in a distant state. I showed up. Pastor said, how about you sit down in the congregation? I'll call you up when it's time to preach. I was sitting about where Brother Barnes or Brother Aaron's at. Plop down. This old lady come down the aisle. She had to be real old. I won't put an age on it. She come down that aisle. She looked at me. She said, you're sitting in my seat. I said, I'm sorry. I got up and I moved over. Gave her plenty of room. I moved down about two spots. She said, that's so-and-so's seat. I said, okay. She said, find somewhere else to sit. Okay. I wiggled around. I said, anybody sitting here? Sat down. Pastor introduced me to come up and preach. I preached. I was in the back shaking hands after the service. And this little old lady, she comes out towards the door. I thought, oh, she's going to feel embarrassed. I'm going to make sure she's not embarrassed. I reached my hand out and she said, tomorrow night, don't sit in my seat. I looked at the pastor. I said, as she walked out, I said, that's one crabby old lady. She couldn't hear me, so it didn't matter. But, I've been in churches like that. Trust me. Look, you can sit in my seat for all I care. Don't do it right now. You don't want the responsibility that goes with it, I promise you. We're so concerned about our things versus what somebody else has. We're to make sure others get the things that they need before we get the things we want. Jesus didn't get much out of us. He made sure we got what we needed before he got anything. We're not to keep up with what others have. If somebody gets a new car, you don't have to sell yours and go get a new one.
Amen.
You don't have to have a bigger house. Now, if you got 14 kids, you might think about it. But it's not just because somebody else got a new house doesn't mean you have to have one. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. We are so concerned with keeping up with somebody else, or the neighbor has a new mower, so I got to get a new mower. Or the neighbor has this, and I got to have that. Look, my neighbors can have whatever they want. I got all I need. I got all I want, and it's all I can do to take care of it, and I don't care what they have.
Amen.
I don't think about what they have. I think about what we have. And if my neighbor needs something, one of my neighbors across the street the other day texted me. He said, Pastor, could you come over and help me? I got to get something out of my car. He cut all five of his fingers on a table saw and lost two fingers. I said, sure. I stopped everything I had, walked over and helped him carry some stuff to the basement. Isn't that what neighbors are supposed to do? Now, I had other things to do, but he needed it more than I needed it. I have all 10 of my fingers. Most of them work pretty well. You see, we're supposed to think about others more than ourselves. The mind of Christ is that he left all of heaven to make heaven available for us. He left the glory of heaven to make sure we had an opportunity to get there ourselves. Think about that. To have the mind of Christ, not only must we esteem others, but we must look on the things of others before ourselves. Number three, we need to serve and not worry about our reputation. Verse number six, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Wow. Jesus didn't worry about his reputation. Matter of fact, Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 1:11 says that he came into his own, but his own received him not. How tragic is it that Jesus left all of that for us to give us everything he left, and yet we won't receive him? We need to not worry about our reputation so much. Okay, now I'm going to meddle. We're so full of pride that we're so concerned about how we look. Parents, your kids are going to act up in public. At least mine did. They still do. And they're adults. Now, wait a minute. Well, my children, they just embarrass me. Why? They're kids. Everybody doing all right? How many of you have ever had children before? How many of you ever had children do something they should not have done? Guess what? How many of you were kids and did something you shouldn't have done? Every hand goes up. Jacob, I know you did. Now, wait a minute. Everybody listen to this. Why should it embarrass us that sinners sin? It should not shock us that a sinner sins. Why do you get so embarrassed? Man, I've seen some things happen with kids, yeah. Most of the time, the kids ought to be embarrassed of the parent letting it happen.
Amen.
They never had my daddy. You didn't just act that way. My children know this word very well. Yeah. That means you better stop what you're doing real fast and start looking. That means, look here, you're about to get whooped. My dog even knows what that word means. Yeah. That means, okay, you went too far. Give it back. We are so full of pride that we won't go somewhere if we don't look just right. Now, I wished we had a little bit more pride because people run around in their pajamas these days. Or run around in their underwear and painted different colors and thinks it's okay. We think our status. I've got to buy a certain car because it'll make me look good. Good grief. I've got to have a certain kind of house in a certain neighborhood so that I can have an appearance that I want to have. That's garbage. We're so full of pride that we're so concerned about how we look to other people. Well, I can't let my fellow employees know that I made a mistake. Why? If you'll tell them you made the mistake, maybe they won't make it. Maybe you ought to humble yourself and not worry about your reputation and help somebody else build their reputation. Jesus was not worried about his reputation. He wanted our reputation spared.
Amen.
Jesus let his character decide his reputation and tried to serve other people. Jesus, like us, didn't need to be served. It's not a matter of being served, it's a matter of serving. I mean this. I want nothing from this church. I don't. I don't want gifts. I don't want money. Paycheck is nice, but my wife and I don't want our birthdays and anniversaries celebrated and all that other kind of junk. I know pastors who got upset with their church because they didn't get as big of a birthday gift this year as they got last year. Do me a favor, vote them out and go find a real man of God.
Amen.
If you're so worried about what you're getting instead of what you're giving, everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Honestly, I don't want anything from this church. I'll say this as humbly as I know how. I hope when I take my last breath, Dr. Chaco, they put my body in a box right here. I hope whoever stands and speaks will say he gave everything he had, including the microphone. He gave everything he had for the church. I made sure that this church is cared for financially with life insurance after I die, so that this church can function for months to a year after I'm gone in the transition. Say why? Because I love this church in life and death. Amen. My responsibility to my wife doesn't end when I die. I have to take care of her till she dies. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Now listen to me very carefully here. It's about time we start thinking of others more than ourselves. Maybe we ought to step back and clear some things out. The higher you go in leadership, the more you're supposed to serve, not be served. Just because you can boss your kids around to get them to do what you want doesn't mean you're a good leader. When you can serve them and not be bothered by it, that's when you become a real leader. Isn't it Jesus that said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll teach you how to serve." Wasn't it Jesus that fed people? Wasn't it Jesus who healed people? He was serving them. He was not being served. It is a matter of being a servant, not being served. The way up is down. Humility. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you know what Jesus did for you? He left the glory of heaven. He left the right hand of the throne of God. He came to this old nasty earth to be born like you and me. He put on flesh that could die. Not only that, as he grew up, became a man, he began to preach. People began to accuse him falsely. They slandered him. They spat on him. They tried to kill him. When it was time, he allowed them to kill him. They took his body and ripped his clothing off and took a cat of nine tails and beat his back so bad that his insides literally were hanging out his back. They put a robe on him to hold him together so they could torture him a little longer. They took a crown of thorns and put it on his head, began to beat it with sticks into his head. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was beaten so bad, he was marred so badly, they could not tell that it was a man hanging on the cross. After hours of brutal beating and coughing up phlegm in their throats and spitting in his face, falsely accusing him, made him carry an old rugged cross up a hill. They threw him, they took that robe off and ripped those sores back open on his back. Took big old spikes and nailed them into his hands and into his feet. Picked that old cross up, hoisted him about 12, 15 feet in the air and dropped it in a hole about 6, 8 feet deep. And that thing, when it hit the bottom, every joint in his body came out of place. And he hung there for 9 hours. Every breath that he took, he had to pull himself up. When he let himself back down, the air would go out. For 9 hours, he suffered like that. Say, why did he do that? He left all of heaven to do that for you and me. You don't get it by what you do. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is not through some church tradition. It's not through baptism. You can get baptized in every baptistry, every church, every creek, every pond, till you know every tadpole by name, and die and go to hell. Water doesn't wash sin away. You only get saved by what Jesus did for you. And he came as a servant to do that for you. How dare you try to do it on your own? How dare you shake your finger in the face of God Almighty and say, I don't need you, I'll do it myself. I'll trust what man says, not what the Bible says. How about we give God what he wants today? How about today, honestly, you give God what he wants today? Humble yourself. Admit you're a sinner. Admit because we're all sinners, we all deserve hell. But Jesus came and served us and paid our sin debt for us, and you'd be willing to accept that by faith. I'm not talking about some experience. You're not going to flip on the floor and start saying all the motorcycle names backwards. The lights aren't going to flash. The earth isn't going to quake. The roof's not going to fall in. I'm not talking about some kind of experience. I'm talking about obeying what Jesus said. If you've never trusted Christ, today's the day. If you've been saved and not baptized, we can take care of that today. I say it this way, I can still be married if I don't wear a wedding ring. People know I'm married because I wear it. That's all baptism is. It doesn't save you, it lets everybody else know what you did. That's all it is. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and you'd like to join our church, how about you obey God? I believe every person ought to be a member of a local New Testament church. I really do. It's what Jesus died for. He paid for it with his blood. Maybe we ought to just obey him today. You want to learn to think like Christ, you'll have to learn to think for others. Give others the respect. Give others the things. And maybe you wouldn't worry about your own reputation and help somebody else with their reputation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Please give everybody the respect they deserve and just close your eyes for a moment. Who would say, preacher? And you be honest, you and God. If I die today, I know I've trusted Christ. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Only if you know for sure. You may put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? I won't call on you just like I didn't call on others. All right, there's one. Is there another? There's one. There's another. Is there another? All right. Thank you. Is there another? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. In a moment, we'll stand. When we stand, the piano will begin to play. When it does, you just make yourself to the aisle. I'll have somebody take the Bible in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. You can know and you can walk out those doors on your way to heaven. I promise you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. Father, would you please take this message? Help these people. Help us to not think about ourselves so much. Help us to learn to think with the mind of Jesus as we think and serve others. Help those who have raised their hand saying they're not sure they're saved to come. Help those that need to be baptized, help them to come. Those that may want to join our church, help them to come today. In Jesus' name.